Simpsons Index, an online spreadsheet that is also a podcast. This is The Podcast.
Coming to you from SideQuest Studios, this is The Simpsons Index, episode 226. Hello out there, I'm your host, Elliot J. O'Neill, and joining me in SideQuest Studios here as always, except when he's not, is B.T. Calloway.
Hoi.
And also joining us here is Philip Wolfe.
I haven't been here for so long, I forgot who I was.
you are the wolf man, but now Daddy Wolf.
Yeah. That's, yes, correct. I don't like the term Daddy Wolf. It's too many connotations there. But yes, new father, Papa Wolf. Very tired.
But yeah, thank you for carving out some time to joining us for the Simpsons Index. Of course, it's a podcast where we watch and review Simpsons. We used to review three episodes at a time, but at the moment, we're just reviewing one.
How easy.
Yeah, because we're also tired.
Mm. Yeah, it's going around. It's like a epidemic.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
Out of all the epidemics, just being tired is probably a more manageable epidemic. But anyway, so yeah, the one episode we reviewed today was Season 33, Episode 4, The Ways We Were. Once again, we were saying before, there's many The Way We Was, The Ways We Wasn't.
And this is Ways with a Z, so it's different.
Oh, it's a reference to that fucking app. Okay, now I get the joke.
Oh, fuck, my God. No, you guys have been doing this for too long. I was like, immediately, oh, I see how this is dumb. No, it's just spoilers to the next 10 questions, but that plot line just dropped off entirely and I forgot it existed.
First released in, I didn't write that down.
Wait, last year?
Yeah.
God, we're pro.
Season 30, yeah, aren't we just?
10,000 hours, you were saying?
Slightly less. And I forgot to bring my phone in. No, I didn't. Oh, fuck it, Gart.
Welcome to the Swearnix, where we invent new swear words that no one else
the
uses.
Opinions of Elliot J. O'Neill do not reflect that of the rest of us, and the Simpsons Index do not fuck a goat.
Unless you are also a goat.
Yeah, that's fine then.
First released in October of 2021, it was directed by Matthew Nastark, written by Joel H. Cohen. In this episode, Homer attempts to solve a traffic problem caused by the Waze app, and in the B story, which then becomes the A story, Mo and Maya reunite, and he is feeling insecure again, because that's Mo, that's his stick.
That's his stick.
So yeah, of course, bring Phil back for this one, because reviewed the first in the Maya love story with you, all the way back in years ago.
I thought you were getting me back because we were friends, not because I also reviewed this similar
no,
story.
No, we just knew how many songs were in this one.
No, I've already got exclamation points on my notes. More singing?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Hey guys, what'd you think?
Padding. Oh, padding. Honestly, what was this?
Yeah, this was bad.
Yeah. We've been on a pretty good run as of late. You know, we've only been reviewing post-HD episodes, so we're all like, oh, how good could this be? But they always, the last four have, like, surprised us.
Yeah, and this is, oof, this is why we don't like a lot of the HD. Oh, this is a right grand down, example.
Right down the middle of the hallway of mediocrity.
Yeah.
Not even, like, notable mediocrity, just...
Ugh. Yeah, yeah.
It was just boring and confusing at the same time.
Yeah, threw a hot dog down that hallway, did not touch the sides. It was just, so boring. Yeah, it's a shame because I think, like, we all kind of liked the original Maya episode. Yeah. The ending was really stupid, how they broke them up with the plastic surgery thing. But I'm glad they brought her back, but not in this way.
This one has a fair central premise. You know, she comes back. It takes so long to get to the point.
Mm.
But then they bring her back. And then Mo's insecurity of like, you know, oh, she's just going to leave again. That's some decent heart. That's a fair premise to base an episode on. But God, there is nothing else. And they even forget their own bit. Like, he's this whole bit. He has this whole flashback of the second I say I love you, it's all over. And then later on, he says it's just fine.
Yeah.
And it's like, this was the point.
And he says it in passing. Yeah. No, it wasn't even like, this is a big moment. I'm going to take the chance of being... That was a weird noise.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was me for a second. I was like, I didn't even feel that.
Nope. I just it took a much bigger... Like, when you know when you've only got a little bit of beer left and you finish it off because you don't want to have warm dregs later.
Yeah.
It was definitely much more than a mouthful and it repeated on me a bit. Professional podcasting.
I'm allowed to say that's what she said.
Yeah, Steve Carell owns
Patreon.com/SideQuest Studios. professionals.
Give us money.
You know, professionals. This is the kind of high quality you can expect.
Yep. Oh my God. So continue your point, please.
So when he says "I love you," it's just in passing because she says "I love you," and he goes "I love you too," and she walks out the door.
Yeah.
And so that implies it's not the first time he's said it right after we've had this whole big deal of, the second I say it, it's all over. It's like, God, episode, you forgot your own bit.
Yeah. And then when he goes into the singing Moe's in the mirror, it's like, it doesn't even reference really that part of him being actually worried that Maya's not coming back. Mm. You just get so distracted by seven Moe's singing to him, which made me distracted through hatred, that I forgot anything that might have been pertinent to the actual episode.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was with you with the hatred there. I mean, I don't hate musical cues as much as you do, but my God, like, was there anything specific they were parodying here? No. But yeah, and Moe's, like, seven Moe's that he sees in the mirror are all, like, I'm guessing they're going for incel icons here with...
Well, just famous villains, because one's, you know, Pinhead from Hellraiser, one's the Green Goblin from Spider-Man, one's the Joker.
Yeah, Phantom of the Opera, yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like... But they're all just ugly villains, and that's about it. And which, okay, fine, but they already had a point for Mo, which is the fear of, you know, saying I love you in commitment.
And then they pivot it to this, it's his insecurities thing.
Yeah, and it's like, you already had a thing. You didn't have to make another. And just, this episode is padded to absolute hell. Like, we get a fuck you couch gag, a fuck you intro, and then three individual songs just to stretch out that runtime.
Oh, the couch... I mean, I will come back to the getting my pitchfork out for the songs later. Oh, yeah. But the couch gag at the beginning was 5 minutes of they've made a stop motion.
I thought this was the episode.
Same.
Yeah, like, I was sitting next to you, Veej, and you were like, when they actually went to the credits and then to the show, you were like, what?
Yeah. Because, for those of you playing at home, this is like a whole thing where... You know, Grandpa's looking at Maggie. Maggie has a phone and Grandpa takes it out of hand. Don't play with that. And then gives
I don't
it like,
mind him calling it Satan's calculator.
Yeah, that's fine. That's and then right. puts down like an old school, you know, castle and block people. And then we go into like Simpsons block people universe. Like, okay, I guess this is the episode. Or maybe it'll be vignettes about Maggie's play toys. Sure, fine. This is, that was a couch gag. All right.
I'm pretty disappointed because I gotta say, this looked fucking gorgeous. Like,
well, effort went into this.
Yeah, I loved the rendering they did on the wood block play toy thingies and how they had like that worn paint look those old school toys.
I did hate the animated mouths that they put on them though. They were way outside the scope of the aesthetics for everything else. They just had like little 2D cartoon.
Yeah, very pink lipped. What's it called? Robot chicken mouths.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, I was going to say it did look like South Park mouths on toys, but yeah, that's exactly what Robot Chicken is.
Yeah.
But, like, and I even thought, like, when she got the dragon, like, all that, like, cotton wool fire looked really cool. Like, yeah. I feel
this is where we learn that Maggie deep down is just another, you know, Daenerys target.
Because he's Khaleesi of the Plains. Yeah.
She's Dan Brady.
If you want to know what Dan Brady is, tune in to Throne of Games, another excellent podcast by this association.
That's very hard to find because we did not think about that name.
Man, you know what's fucking weird, though, is, like, the last year... We have had this podcast, you know, off, like, without releasing new episodes for over a year. Mm-hmm. The last year, our downloads for that have been, like, fantastic. Like, consistently higher than when we were releasing new episodes.
Really?
And the show's been longer over, and, like, House of the Dragon, and we're not reviewing that until that show ends, so...
It's all right.
It's weird.
Respect you, original 25 people who religiously want to listen to that show.
Yeah, no, it's...
I did. It was great.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, though, like... Sorry, really way off topic now, but our most downloaded episode has become, like, the first episode of Game of Thrones, a.k.a. our final episode of that podcast.
Yeah, right. Where it's just you going, oh, that's who that is.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that is, I waited the entire show to see how Bran got crippled, and it's the first episode.
talk about a weird spoiler.
Yeah.
Well, that back shadowing. Anyway, that's padding, because I've blown through half my notes in just yelling. So.
Yeah, well, like, I got to, like, the script and everything with that Playmobil section was pretty insubstantial anyway. Like, I mostly liked the animation of it. I thought It looked great. But
again, a lot of effort went into this fuck you couch gag, which was like, oh, I thought this was the episode. This is what we were doing. Okay.
Yeah, but then even more unsettling is they do like a flashback thingy to prehistoric times. Yep. And then you're, okay, is this the episode?
That was fucking weird.
Yeah. And that's like the invention of the wheel. And oh, look, the first traffic jam. But even then, like the first, you know, joke in quotations here is Homer coughing up a chunk of meat that lands in a fire and goes, oh, no, it's ruined because it got cooked. And it's like, fuck, I could hear that clunk. Like,
yeah.
Damn, dude.
I think that was technically the third joke they thought they wrote. that's how bad it was. The other two were just kind of things that just went away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that prehistoric thing was like, I don't understand why it was there. Like, you don't need that to understand what traffic is or to know to watch Fink invent the wheel so everyone can stop pulling their carcasses across the dirt.
Yeah.
Why was that? You could have just gone straight into the episode, apart from taking up 90 seconds of non-funny time. Why would you go, oh, guys, we need to do something so everyone knows what traffic jams are. Let's go back to Homer's prehistoric time where he makes the first traffic jam.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, you've had the 3D toy thing at the beginning.
Yep.
Then the prehistoric thing. So by the time we get to the episode, 5 minutes in, thoroughly confused about what the hell's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, and like you said before, they drop this part of the story to make way for Maya, which will be my repeated thing throughout this whole thing. I don't know how you couldn't make a whole episode, one A story about Mo and Maya.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because do you think all those three individual preambles was solely so they could introduce Maya in some way that was generic?
Yeah, she's behind Mo in traffic.
Twice.
There was only one way we could have done that, and that's having Waze put a bunch of traffic through Evergreen Terrace. Obviously. Yeah. It's like, fuck.
It could be stuck in traffic normally.
Yeah.
She could have been,
she could just come to the bar.
Yeah. They'd be standing in line and she could have said hi and he would have turned around and said, oh no, I'm hearing voices again, and then he'd be below her because they didn't do a lot of short gags in this.
Well, I mean, I feel like that, I mean, they backed away from that in the first one anyway, and it was what ruined them with Mo at the end, which was also
didn't
part
make
of
sense because Maya was
like
doing the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's hook into this episode. BT, for better or worse, what's a moment that stands out to you?
I've already kind of covered it, but just how long it takes Maya to get in here, where I just wrote it down. Oh, hi, the point. maybe it's just, I'm going to go with a very simple one. Ralph just going, climate change is real. It's like, what the fuck is this bit?
First, he gets denuded by butterflies.
Yeah.
Yeah, which happens.
Yeah. Butterflies, incredibly strong.
And it's meant to be like, so is this meant to be them saying, this is what the liberals sound like? You sound like a stupid Ralph. It's like, is that the point?
Okay,
it's also
I'm glad
unrelated
it
to everything. Like,
yeah.
We're not even talking about that right now. Why is Ralph suddenly just going, climate change?
Which you
real.
Could have in an episode that's full of, at this point, traffic jams.
Yes.
You could definitely have hit upon, like, they made so many jokes about, I've been in traffic for so long that my van that says lamps now says antique lamps.
Oh, they're so cringy, those jokes.
There was five of them in a row and they were all terrible. Like the guy who puts a letterbox outside his car and then instantly gets a letter delivered to him.
Yeah, and then the fresh vegetables guy that just changes it to rotten garbage. And
yeah, it was all very B-grade stuff. But it's like you could have made a pollution story or something out of that, but didn't.
Ralph saying this line, you're like, what am I supposed to make of this?
Yeah. I'm glad it confused you too, because, like, I'm not glad it confused you, but I feel like I was relating. Because
I know I look cute when I'm confused.
But yeah, there's no traffic in the street.
Why is that not a badge?
I mean, we can
add
work
it to
on.
Your patches, yeah.
Add it to the stickers.
Yeah, but I don't get the train of thought with them. The streets are clear of cars, so now kids can play in the street, and now there's more butterflies in the street, and climate change is... Yeah, I don't...
Yeah, butterflies that eat Ralph's clothes, and then he says climate change is real.
Don't like, fucking get it.
It's not even don't get it. I don't even get what they were trying to go for.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a cut joke from a different script they just pasted in.
Phil, what do you reckon? What stands out to you, for better or worse?
One thing that I did laugh at was when they were all in the Simpsons home complaining about the Simpsons to the Simpsons, some guy says, I've seen the boys' moons more than the real moon, and I'm an astronomer.
Yeah.
And I laughed at that.
Yeah, not bad.
Mm-hmm. It was good. I think that was the first and second last time that I laughed.
Yeah. I thought that whole scene as well was sort of weird and pointless. Like, especially like we've done the whole Simpsons being the most hated family on the neighborhood thing. It's like, okay, whatever. What are you going to do with it? And they have a joke with Ruth Powers in there as well. You haven't visited me in 25 years and I live next door.
Yeah, that was like, That's weird. You can't say the timeline, like,
because they moved in and they're still the same age.
Yeah.
Whatever. But they brought back Pamela Reed for that one as well.
Come back to say this one line.
Yeah.
Surely she did that over Skype.
Probably. It was, yeah, if it was released in 2021, it's a good chance it was a COVID-produced episode.
Mm.
I mean, yes, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pamela Reed returning as Ruth Powers, who you might know from Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
And she was also Leslie Knope's mother in Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, she was too.
Oh my God. I definitely know her more from that than Kindergarten Cop.
Oh.
She's Arnie's partner.
No, I understand, but yeah. Kindergarten Cop's quite a lot of beers ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, you're most likely to remember the Arniness of the movie. I don't think Pamela Reed had nearly as an iconic line about
it. Yeah, not at all. Otherwise, she would have become governor, and that didn't happen. So obviously, Arnie was the star.
Oh, what an alternative reality that is.
Mm. And when she's starring in Terminator Genesis or something,
it's all just paperwork.
Yeah.
At a certain point, hey, someone's got to pay for all these time machine nonsense, and paperwork needs to be done.
And what stands out to me, I think it's just going to be the way they drop the whole traffic storyline anyway, because then, you know, Homer solves the traffic issue by getting Frink to remove Evergreen Terrace from Waze. Then the family is just...
being wrenched in adoration. And I think that's the last scene.
Yeah, that's it. Them at the donut shop and, will you be the godfather to my baby? Let me have a look at it. Yeah, pass.
Actually, I thought at the time, and I've seen this episode before, so it's weird, but when they...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, I know.
You've seen it once more than me, then.
Yeah, it's I'm not better for it. but I thought probably last time and this time as well, that when they do that and they delete Evergreen Terrace, I thought that story was going to go to all the problems they would now have as a neighborhood because their street doesn't
go there anymore.
Yeah, they can't get delivered to things. You don't get taxed, but you can't get your benefits because you don't have an ad. Like, I thought that was where that was going. I thought that this was an overly elaborate way to get to something bad that needed to be overcome instead of something that was then, like you say, forgotten in turn.
Oh no, people are giving us too much free donuts.
I know. When has Homer ever complained about too many free
donuts? He went to hell.
In a donut shop.
And ate too many donuts and he was fine.
He says at the beginning, all I want is everyone's adoration. And he gets adoration and free donuts and he's complaining. Like, who is this man?
No, it makes no sense. And yeah, you're right. It's like, it is the next point in the escalation of this story that ends up getting to, you know, the full circle moment where things sort of go back to normal, but the characters have changed. And no, they're still the love of the town. And Boat Guy wants to hang out with Homer forever now.
Yeah. Oh, so many Boat Guy gags as well.
I will say it got me on the reprise where it's like, you want to come drink coffee in my boat in the parking lot? Do you ever take it on the water? No.
No, he says not yet.
Not yet. There's something about that. The first one, I was like, yeah. But then when they brought him back, the idea that he brought his boat to the car park, I think, is what got me.
The other thing, this is going to annoy me again, is when Marge uses a Neighborhood Watch app to call a Neighborhood Watch meeting, the people who turn up behind them in their quirky locomotions are Sideshow Mel on a unicycle, Mr. Burns on a penny farthing. Those two fuckers don't live in their street.
No.
Mr. Burns isn't he's not turning up to a town meeting at Evergreen Terrace. Like, what? I don't even know if he's even in the room after that.
No. And like, I could buy Sideshow Mel, like, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a pretty weird mishmash of people, including the guy who always wears his underwear and whatever.
Only wears his underwear or whatever.
Yeah, this is more than I put on for Zoom. And yep, this was written in 2021, that's for sure.
No one before 2020 knew what Zoom was, so...
Yeah. So, yeah, play count. You did mention you've watched this at least once before.
Yeah, this is the second time I've wasted my time.
This is the first time I've wasted mine.
Yeah, first of me as well. So you said as well you'd watched a few episodes from the 33rd season?
Yeah, having a new baby means that you're up quite late at night and can't get to sleep because of legal reasons for keeping babies alive, and you have to watch something that you want to be slightly entertained by, and I use that term loosely, but also not paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got Disney Plus recently. Please sponsor the show, Disney. And so I was like, oh, I'll watch some of the new Simpsons. So I've watched, I think, most of whatever this season is.
Yep.
And I have seen this one before. So yeah, I was like, oh, I remember this.
So, I mean, there has been a bit of a opinion online that Simpsons are having a bit of a turning point, and we've certainly noticed it lately, where episodes from season 31, 32, and 33 have been okay at times.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you agree with that at all, having seen a bunch of them?
I'd say the first couple of episodes of this season, the first one, which I can't remember, but I do remember going, this was actually a really good episode.
Wasn't that a musical one?
Not the first one, yeah, because that's all musicals. That was a bag of shit. The second one was actually a good episode. And I was like, holy shit, this is a great episode.
Yeah.
And then, spoiler alert for the rest of the world, it gets much, 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 much worse. Much worse.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to believe that Simpsons will turn a corner, but I mean...
There's a two-episode arc of Ned Flanders being in Fargo, and it is the most boring thing I've almost ever seen on TV in my life.
Yeah, wow. Because even friend of the show, James from Pods in the Key of Springfield.
Like and subscribe.
He was saying that, yeah, he quite enjoyed that one. And that one has been, yeah, hitting Lord up a lot of people's lists. Yeah.
Well, I don't know James and I don't have any grudges against him, but I assume that he's a maniac.
Look, as long as you like and subscribe, we don't mind what you
I mean,
do.
I will subscribe.
Ooh, it just got colder in here.
I mean, they do, like, thematically and visually, it looks really good. And they get all the transitions, like the scene transitions and the weird little quirky Coen Brothers like feel of a place done to a T. Like, that's really well done. And the story is about 4 seconds worth of story spread lovingly over an hour worth of nothing.
Yeah, wow.
I think I fell asleep, like, without exaggerations, 4 times. Woke up, went, oh, I fell asleep. I'll just keep watching and fell asleep again.
Oh, shit. Well, I hope we have better luck when we review it. Coming sometime.
I don't know, sometime.
Coming in the future.
We're busy. What do you want?
Wackiness. Was this a particularly wacky episode of The Simpsons?
I mean, there was that whole montage of, we've been in traffic for so long. Mm.
Is that wacky? Isn't wacky, I mean, by definition, like, funny and zany?
Well, that whole thing with Ralph and butterflies, you know, that's wacky, but it was also confusing and stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, in the pillars of Simpsons, that, you know, the balance between being a wacky cartoon and being a heartfelt, emotional, sort of grounded story is, you know, what makes a good Simpsons episode. And this one, yeah, we get wacky animation moments with the fucking two fuck you intros. But then, yeah, after that, the episode is kind of static, like, and could have used a bit more of that stuff.
A bit more of anything. It was very, felt like an episode that didn't really know what it was. And it had gone through development hell of like 7 levels of people taking things out and putting them back in. And then someone at the network going, the 8 of us in this room agree that all the bits that we changed are in this now. So we're all happy.
Yeah.
But it didn't make even a cohesive story, let alone a good one.
It felt like, okay, look, we've had a look at your episode. However, we want to have this animated wooden toys bits. We need you to cut 5 minutes out. Also, my wife really just wants to hear the song Walking on Sunshine parody.
Oof.
And so we're going to put that in. You need to cut 6 minutes from this episode. It's like, well, it's only 20 minutes long.
And
it's
my
like,
granddaughter loves dinosaurs, especially giant sloths.
Yep, so that's going to be in the episode. Make it happen and snap, snap. Because, yeah, that's really the main tear on this one. In an episode that has this much padding, it doesn't even have time to finish its B story or give its A story anything.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to jump the gun and talk about the ending, so I'll save it for later.
No, go for it. We talk about shit out of order.
What the fuck is that with the ending? So it ends with, I've got to read my notes here because they're written in haste and fury. Oh, Mo goes, oh, I can finally use this. And it's a dinner for two coupon for Luigi's. Yeah. And they go to Luigi's and he's like, here you go. I'm paying for this table of slop that they've just eaten like pigs, apparently, because there's meatballs everywhere. And he goes, this expired 10 years ago. And Mo's like, and that's the end of the fucking show?
Oh, yeah. No, the real end of the show is a return to the recapture gag.
I forgot to complain about this. I don't count that.
Hey, guys, you heard a recapture? Isn't that fucking weird, clicking traffic signs?
Yeah, and it's just Lisa listing the things she's clicking on, and it's not funny, and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
It's almost like a thing where they do it so unfunnily that after a while they expect it to be funny, because you've done the unfunny thing 7 times, and then there's like that little resurgence of like, oh, that was funny, but that must have happened after the credits.
I don't know, it just...
I feel annoyed for the people whose names were on the credits while that was happening, because no one's reading them.
That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to distract you from reading the names there. Yeah, it's probably don't write a list.
Alan Smithy 47 times.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, that's the thing. You know, once you get past the click the crosswalks and the bridges, then they're just, like, listing random shit. Like, they stop becoming recapture points, and it's not even one of these things where... there's an odd one that sticks out, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all wacky bullshit.
Yeah. It's a terrible way to end episode. Like, there's no way that was the actual ending.
A terrible way to be in an episode as well. The first one as well sucked. And
it's just reading a shopping list and expecting you to laugh.
So what about the heart of this episode? You know, Maya and Mo getting back together?
Again, it should have been there, but the fact that Mo's struggle with saying I love you was presented as being the big problem, even to the point where he has a flashback of the moments of his life where he said it and it's gone horribly wrong for him, and then that's dropped almost immediately. It's like, no, this was the point.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, I thought, like, when he says it so casually and offhandedly as though it's not the first time he said it to her when she's, you know, leaving, I thought, okay, then the seven versions of Mo villains are going to show up. They're going to say, oh, you've done it now, you've said it. Nope. Not even that.
It's yeah, like, that's what I was expecting as well.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah, like you were saying, Phil, this feels like a very, like, passed around episode. Yeah, and, like, it's just death gone, by committee.
It's
like,
been networked to death for sure.
I will say, though, I actually liked the gags in the flashback where he pushes the swing and it comes back with the note that says, I just want to be friends. And then at the basketball game or whatever, the anagram of LeBron to no bro or something like that.
Yeah, it was fine. But again, that doesn't matter. You could have removed that scene.
It wasn't as good as the flashbacks to the old episode where he was dating Maya and he's standing in front of a tree going, what is it? Do you say like open sesame or something?
Yeah.
And she's like, my house is over there. Like that was the best part of the episode and it came from another episode.
No, absolutely. Like, and when you take it to the point of a character's going to propose to another, yeah, it should have a lot more meaning and feels and lead up to it. Like, it did feel very sudden and... Mm. Even, like, on a theoretical level, I don't mind the plot point that Mo got into his own head so far that he ran away.
No, no, that's fine. That's the part that, you know, the core of this is fine. It's just everything around it is nonsense and padding.
Yeah. But, yeah, then when he's actually living in the treehouse, all that material was terrible.
Yeah, and, like, we don't really know what it looked like by the show that he was in the treehouse for a night.
Yeah.
But he had a full beard, so was he there for 3 weeks? Like, what's
I did
he
have this thought. I did have this thought because if you remember Secrets of a Successful Marriage, where Homer gets kicked out and is living in the treehouse.
Right.
He grows a beard really quickly.
Yeah. So the treehouse just has this effect on depressed men.
Yeah.
All right. They could monetize that for sure.
Yeah.
That said, he goes back to the bar and Maya's packing, like ready to leave. And it's like, so he must have been gone for more than a few hours.
Yeah. Mo with a beard looked very odd as well.
Just like a circular round hair.
Yeah.
I guess the same beard as he's got hair.
It looks like Captain Cuttlefish from Splatoon.
I don't know what that is.
That's a reference for all you Splatoon players out there.
I assume that's the Gen Z people.
Yes, by the way, Splatoon 3 has come out recently, and naturally it's all I'm doing when I'm not podcasting, so if you want to play it with me, hit me up and I'll give you my Switch code.
I saw that they're releasing GoldenEye on Xbox.
And Switch, and you can play online. But the rumor is because, you know, it's not a built-up remake. It's like a port that happens to have online. You can still see each other's screens.
I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, that would be.
There was actually a game we played with Jordan, Screensheet, I think it was called.
Where you can only see yourself on other people's screens.
It was
very confusing.
It was like a third-person shooter.
Yeah, it was.
No, a second-person shooter.
Yeah.
It was very confusing, but it was fun. It was very interesting, but...
But yeah, I saw that as well. A lot of news in the Nintendo Direct today. Pikmin 4, yes! but yeah, fucking GoldenEye. I can't believe they made that happen. Like, because that's just not asking Microsoft and Nintendo to play nice. Like, the James Bond license is complicated as hell. Like,
yeah, right.
It's why that game hasn't had a proper release or remake lately.
Pierce Brosnan keeps saying no.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'd be an odd job only level.
Everyone odd job.
Slappers only, odd job only, yeah.
No, proximity mines, odd job.
Oh, fuck. So many great memories. Oh, like, yeah. I don't know if y'all have gone back and played that game. It has aged like warm milk, but...
Yeah. Actually, when you see it, we're like, I thought these were great graphics. And everyone is literally... Looks like a Funko Pop.
Yeah. We have discovered it is much more palatable on a CRT. So if you're playing on a flat screen, it hurts a lot more. But that said, it's a muddy visual.
But it is funny when you do, play proximity mine mode and you like blow up 50 at once. And then just watching that frame rate crawl down
drop down to less than flipbook.
Yeah. A flipbook where you're actually turning the pages.
Yeah, you're animating it as you do it.
The unknown turn book.
Yeah. Speaking to the card of this episode that we're already on GoldenEye. But yes or no, would you watch this one again?
Nah.
I mean, apart from just then, no.
Yeah, sorry about that. No,
dissection only, I think.
Oh, I skipped over a question. Did it feel like an episode of The Simpsons?
Again, parts, the very core of it, sure. But just everything else around it was just bloated nothing.
I'm going to say there was no motivation given for Maya wanting Mo back. She turned up and immediately said to him, "I've missed you." And Mo immediately goes, "You are the best thing in my life." And then he thinks about maybe not getting back with her.
Well, that's the problem, because
but she's got no motivation to want to get back and no conflict to not want to get back.
Yeah.
She's just like, "I've missed you. We should go back together." And they're like, they're having coffee at someone's house, whatever the fuck they were doing. And she's like, "Oh, I'm going to walk over to your side of the table." And Mo's freaking out. And at no point, I'm like, that's when I'm like, what is she getting out of this?
Yeah.
What does she see in Mo?
They have the problem of the reason they broke up was stupid. So how do you reflect her change of heart on that? Because it was stupid.
I can't remember why.
She was making all these short jokes, and then Mo made a couple of short jokes and she got upset.
And then Mo booked in surgery to make himself shorter.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that part.
And she goes, "Yeah, this isn't what I want you to do. I'm out of here."
I mean, that's a lot of commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
cut off part of my leg so I can be with the woman I love.
Yeah, and like they even hinted at a bit of, like, I don't know, shittiness on Maya's side as well. "Tell me, have you been with anyone else since?" And it's like, I wish they didn't play it from that angle either. It was just Maya's like, "Yeah, I've dated around. Everyone sucks." But you were like much more genuine. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, she actually says, "I have to know, have you had any girlfriend since me?" And you're like, but why? Like, was she the jealous type? I don't think that was right.
No.
Is Mo a Lotharian who beds 1,000 women a day?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But even if he had, I don't know what the time frame is supposed to be, but it's been years.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be more upset if they'd said, "No, you broke up with me and I've done nothing since." I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Maybe you are more of a loser than I thought.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's got a trunk full of letters that he never posted to her as well. And
oh, that was a bad gag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if I missed someone, if I saw that, I'd be like, "Oh no, I meant another person. I'm sorry, bye.
I think I hear my mum calling. We gotta leave."
"Oh, you think I'm Elliot?" "No, I'm his twin brother."
Smellian.
Yeah.
I love
our parents were creative.
Smellian is the way you get out of being less weird.
What? No, I like it. It'll work.
Smellian.
Parents named Elliot. The second one came out. I was like, "Oh, no,
smelly. We weren't expecting this."
The second starts with S.
Why does it have a beard?
That's the umbilical cord.
And I've been your host, Elliot J.O. Squeal.
That's all the mustard in the house.
Ketchup. Look, as far as feeling like an episode of Simpsons, I don't think any character was off. I thought all the characters were fine and true to themselves. It's just the show as a whole was boring and shitted and padding and unfocused and unclear and not good.
Yeah, I think that's actually what the write-up in TV Week will be.
Yeah, if that's still around.
I don't know. I'm showing my age. When they used to print out floor descriptions of shows, now it'll just be the blurb that's on the episode at the beginning.
Mm.
Mo gets his girlfriend back and Homer saves the world from traffic briefly.
Yeah, I noticed on the Disney Plus description, which are notoriously bad anyway. Mm. I really, Disney Plus, if you're hiring, I'd love to write your episode descriptions because they're terrible.
Oh, can but you also do their UI as well? Because that's a bag of shit.
Streaming services, like, no one's got a good UI.
Yeah, but Disney's got the worst. Just copy somebody else.
Yeah.
Why do they have the thing? This is way off tangent. But the thing that really shits me about Disney Plus is when you go to search for a show, you go click the little search icon and it brings up a keyboard. It's in the shape of a keyboard, but the keys are alphabetical.
Mm.
I'm like, what the ever-loving fudge is this? Who is this good for? Nobody.
And, like, because I've been getting into watching those 30 for 30, the documentaries. They're mostly sports documentaries. I don't like sports generally, but I love sports documentaries.
Interesting. It's a weird line to draw.
I mean, it just whittles down the best and most exciting emotional bits, and you don't have to stick around for all that boring point scoring stuff.
Yeah.
But they've got a great documentary on there of the women's AFL, and Netflix had that Last Dance Michael Jordan documentary. Is fucking awesome. But yeah, they've also got these ESPN produced, like The Simpsons even did a parody episode of it. But one of the documentaries was on the XFL, you know, Vince McMahon's failed football league. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, right.
It's just such an ill-conceived idea from the start, and he's such a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you search for the 30 for 30 documentary and it doesn't bring up all of them in the search results and then starts bringing up some like other things that have 30 in the title. And it's,
no, you still, I specifically stated what I wanted.
Yeah. And also for my purposes of this podcast, especially, this frustrates the fuck out of me. I wish you could have like TV shows as stickies, just always on top.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that would be ace. Yeah.
And not the continue watching, because that takes you straight into watching the next episode, mm-hmm. and not into the episode list, which, you know, with this, we're watching in random order.
Yep.
Anyway, this isn't reviewing Disney Plus, but all of a sudden it is, because it's more exciting.
The stream index.
Maybe that's what you could do next, after you finish all The Simpsons. You could just review how to use streaming services.
Yeah. Oh,
there at that point, we're just grumpy old men yelling at things, which, if, yeah, that's podcasting.
If that's not what the internet was made for, yeah. I don't know what it was.
BT, what would you like to change about this one?
I think we've covered. Like, the core is fine. Just stick with it. Have the, you know, write some content for fuck's sake.
Some jokes for fuck's
that
sake.
That is my love. Well, not even jokes. Just you have an interesting core of Maya and Mo getting back together. Stick with that. Run with that. Make, get to the point significantly sooner and make it, you know, more of the episode. That was literally my final note of this, was maybe write some content.
Yeah. Because
it's just not there.
What do you reckon, Phil? What would you change?
I mean, it's hard to come after that rant.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's all valid. Yeah, figure out which is your A and which is your B story.
Mm.
Lead with your A story. Drop the two fake intros that you had, because that was a waste of time.
Yep.
Do something with the ways. I don't even know what the point of that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it gets dropped. It doesn't matter
but
anymore.
I don't even know like what point they were trying to make. Like, Homer's now known around... Like, Homer's already famous in the street, surely.
Yeah.
And now he's famous for being doing one good thing.
Yeah, I really thought it was going to be, you know, oh, I bet you all love me now. And he's like, you've done a lifetime of shitty things and one good thing. We appreciate it, but that's not enough to really change our opinion of you.
We're not enough for a woman to hold up a sign that says, I want to have your baby.
Or to say, yeah, you're now my godfather.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a
step. Yeah, I think, yeah, to echo BT, if they focused on the Mo story as the A story, and then they could make Homer do something wacky, or maybe Barney's upset because now the bar's closed more often because Mo's going on dates.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of other offshoots you could have for the reverse side of Mo being busy and dating and finding love.
Mm.
Maybe then he wants, he spruces up the bar because now he's happy. Or maybe he,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to do your job for you, The Simpsons, but yeah, this was...
At this point, someone has to.
This was a episode written by one of those little cages that you roll around the bingo numbers in, and they pull out a bingo number and they're like, what's this? Ralph gets attacked by butterflies. Ha, that's great. You ride that, Jacobs, but I'm the lunch guy. Ride it, Jacobs.
And you know what? For the lunch guy, I think Jacobs did pretty well, even though it was an incoherent joke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fine. It was because it had nowhere to go. And
what else were you supposed to do, Jacobs?
It was written by a lunch guy. Like, what would I change? Yeah, it's a classic case of we have two episodes here,
mm-hmm.
and there should have been way more meat on their respective bones to, yeah, get a story out of both of them. Like, yeah, the whole Google and Waze and whatever, like, not doing a good job at redirecting traffic, like, that's got something to it. Mm-hmm. Like, but also the end result of that with The Simpsons getting adulation feels kind of actually separate from that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like it ties in totally. And, yeah, like I said before, Maya and Mo together, I'm stoked that they brought her back. I thought she was a witty, charming character and a nice counterpoint to Mo.
Permanent change to the show. We've talked before about it's been 30 years. If you want to just add a new character, that's fine.
Yeah.
Change shit up.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of these things where, like, they had the bravery to bring her back, but she also didn't feel like she had anything to do in this episode. Yeah.
No, not at all. It's just like when Homer...
There's all the notes from Phil's other podcast.
No, they're on the floor now.
Oh, no, that's where they belong. Mo goes, when Homer says to him, maybe you should do the big M and ask her to marry you. And Mo's like, you mean that thing that you come into my bar and complain about every time? And he's like, yeah. And Mo's like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. He had no, like, there was no reason that he changed his mind. Mm. It was just because there was 5 minutes left and we needed to get out of the episode.
Yeah. No, it does remove the agency from the characters as well. Because, yeah, Maya just feels like she's doing it because it's what the story demands, not because, like, any organic, like...
Yeah, if it had been her idea, if, you know...
Yeah.
You know, she goes to Mo and's like, what's wrong? He has this whole, you know, you're just going to leave me, I know this. And she's like, well, why don't you marry me then?
And it turns out
that's good. Yeah,
that's way better.
And that gives her agency.
Why don't they send us the episodes before they make them? And then we can give them notes.
Yeah.
All right, we are here. It's time for our final notes.
Now it's time, and now it's time for our final notes. Everyone's final notes. Back to you, Elliot.
Back to you, Phil. Have you got final notes?
Too much singing. Way too much singing.
What a surprise. But yeah. That...
What at the end?
Great
why...
note to come after our song in the podcast. Yes.
Also, two of them aren't even parodies or anything. They're just songs.
And also, yeah. Why did they end this with the song Memories?
Yeah.
It's not memories. It's future. He's got a good future ahead of him. He's getting married. He's in love. He's got a woman who's not going to leave him.
And it's a downer of a song.
Memories.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
The memories are the tricky part of this relationship.
Yeah, they're the bad bits. It doesn't. It's ridiculous. It's like seeing, I don't know, fucking horses or something.
We've
bullshit.
Only just begun.
Yes. Anything. Or make up a new song. Or here's an idea. Stop singing.
Don't sing. What movie is it from that he referenced?
Some Barbara Streisand movie.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it is.
It's bad, apparently. Yeah, apparently. It's always good when The Simpsons are like criticizing other media in especially a pretty poor episode.
Especially, a Barbara Streisand movie. Way to really relate to the kids. Much like Moe's Rodney Dangerfield impression. They'll understand that entirely.
Oof a doofa. Any other notes?
Doofa is entering the vernacular.
I actually don't even know what that means, but all right.
I think I pinched that from Demi Lardner.
The other time I laughed is when Mo says, after his proposal, he's like, and when I go to the bathroom, because I know that girls like it, I'll leave the toilet seat on.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
That was a nice mystery.
That's a little bit like right at the end. Fine. What have I also got? Pocket bacon.
I didn't mind pocket bacon.
Yeah, pocket bacon's fine, but it's no pocket sand. And also, it was just like, it was too late.
Yeah.
It was too late to try and get my chuckles out.
Yeah, we're at the irredeemable part of the episode.
Henry Winkler never jumped the shark, even when he jumped the shark. Woof. Like, don't say the second part.
Yeah.
We know the joke. It's a famous thing. He jumped the shark. If Mo goes, he never jumped the shark, that's the joke.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And yeah, it is something to behold. Like Henry Winkler has had an amazing career. And have you guys seen Barry yet?
No.
Bill Hader is a hitman assassin, and he stumbles into like an acting workshop and then wants to be an actor. But like he's still got crime ties and stuff like that. And Henry Winkler's the acting teacher. And it is just chef's kiss. One of the most perfect shows I've ever seen.
Oh, right. All right. Let's
especially if you've like been in acting classes, because there's some very relatable types in there.
All right. I'll check that out.
We know actors.
No offense, actors, especially the ones that worked with us. We love you very much.
Those ones we like. There are still types out there, though.
Yeah, the types that go to acting classes, they're different. They're not actors.
No, that's about it.
Oh, God, we're in a pit now.
BT, do you have any other notes?
Indeed, I do. Let's have a look at what some of those are. There's a bit in the caveman intro where Lenny walks into a tar pit and then he's sinking, goes, my eye. And it's like, wow, way to try to milk a better episode for my appreciation. That's,
especially he did that. So like he didn't scream at all in the tar pit. Yeah. It's
and
his
also,
eyeballs.
Everyone else is just talking, Oonga Boonga language.
Oh, that's true.
And, but Lenny can articulate, oh, my eye. Just you get it at home, kid. Like fucking goddamn.
Also, Lenny sounded like crap throughout this whole episode.
I was wondering,
it did not sound like him.
I don't know what's going on there.
Got a very bad internet connection.
Yeah. Maybe.
Little up arrow I'll give is in one of the first gags in the traffic is taking forever is the guy driving the gas tanker gets out and starts refueling his car from the gas tanker.
Oh, yeah.
That was okay, but then everything else kind of went on.
I didn't mind the couple just married and she goes, sorry, I met someone in the neighboring car and gets in limo with a hot guy. It's okay.
Yeah, sure. This starts with like Homer and Marge snuggling in bed and they're all like, what's all that noise outside? It's the traffic jam. It's like, just fuck. Like, you know what'll take your mind off traffic?
Also, they instantly walk outside to look at the non-moving traffic. They stop sexy times, get dressed, walk outside, look at the traffic. And then it's not even like they haven't gone, this is new, because Marge is like, it's the traffic jam.
Or even like, oh, this is killing the mood. They're just like, what's that noise? Let's go outside. It's like, you were in the middle of something. Okay,
your bedroom window faces the outside. You can peek out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just ignore it because...
It's traffic. But yeah, in that I nothinged the line that Homer had, let's take this from Disney Plus to HBO Max.
Oh, God. Was it slightly a dig at Disney Plus for now.
I think it's just nudity is on HBO and it's not on Disney
Plus.
Well,
that's not even true because, I mean, I think it might be different for Disney Plus in America, but like, yeah, Disney Plus here, like, there is some filth on there.
We get some filth.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
No. Yeah, no.
What should I be searching on my terrible
Have you heard of this Family Guy? It's pretty fucking sweet, dude.
No, surprisingly, they do have American Horror Story, which I do enjoy hate watching because every season but the first one sucks.
Yeah. But I didn't mind Homer's line of, oh, Marge, you haven't honked like this since you were in high school. But yeah, everything else around that was terrible.
Let's see. What else have I got? There's a nice down arrow. Oh, yeah. when they're like, oh, and when Homer wears corduroy pants, it makes so much noise. And then he starts making sounds like, first of all, we know the blue pants aren't corduroys because we've never heard him make them. Second of all, this way to tell, then show. Thanks, guys.
Show, then tell, then show again.
When Homer first gets the street removed from Stays and we go to a shot of the street being like celebrating, it's playing a very minor key song and it's like, this is a happy moment. You guys know this is the wrong cue, right? It's really weird.
More continuing of the Simpsons music, just really letting the show down. Even in those episodes that we liked recently, still, music is a massive problem across the board.
This is just a weird choice of like song. And something that has so many songs, use Walking on Sunshine there. That's fine. When everyone's happy about the street being free at last.
That would even make sense.
Yep.
That's what I was going to say about that. It's one of those ones where they feel like the writers in the room landed on the Walking on Sunshine, Mo, and that made them laugh.
And they had to reverse engineer.
And then, and the rest of the lyrics are terrible. All of a sudden, she's holding up wine. Pinot.
I think when Bart and Milhouse are playing like Space Patrol or whatever, I think Bart's laser pistol is the zap pistol from that episode, but I'm not entirely sure because I think that was green.
Wouldn't be surprised. Also, with Flanders, they use his like hot chocolate from the movie, that iconic overindulgent hot chocolate.
Binging with Babish did, so yeah.
And then, like, in the background when, like, there's actual story going along, but the Simpsons can't have faith in their own story, so they have a bunch of background shit happening. Then he's on roller skates delivering to cars.
I thought that was going to be something as well, but it was just two background things. There's one where he's giving people hot chocolates, and the other one where he's serving people on roller skates. I mean, he's on roller skates, not the people.
No, they're in cars.
They're in cars.
Motorized roller skates. Yeah.
Mo cutting the ring from his shotgun, I kind of like.
I didn't mind that.
And then when he's down on one knee and he thinks Maya rejects him, he's like, well, that's it. I'm never getting up again. And kind of scoots around for a little bit. Like, if I was having a better time, I might like that more.
Yeah.
But no, and then it's memory for some reason, and then we finish.
Yeah, I only have a couple of other notes. Homer's got the line, I wonder if all the adulation is what made Randy Quaid crazy. It's a fair enough line again. I'm not having enough fun in this episode to pay it much. And Mo, like, getting off the road and, like, running through all the signs. Again, this is just joke of way too many beats.
That went on for so long as well.
And it's like, he's just hitting the crossing signs, like the animal crossing, duck crossing.
It's like,
and
I nearly popped for fish crossing, the F fish.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. Fish don't cross the street, ha ha ha. Yeah. But then he hits the fish pH crossing, and it's like, oh, that feels like you're
sounds
really
very chemical, the fish pH crossing. but also, like, when they did that gag, first they did animals, then they did, I think, children playing, and it wasn't until fish that something hit the window.
Yeah, and there was wet cement as well, and I thought that was going to be a thing.
Yeah,
like,
or was going to smear across the windscreen.
Yeah. But yeah, and when he runs through the pH, science fish crossing, we get another guest star for this episode, Trey Anastasio, who is the lead guitarist for jazz fusion rock band Fish.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's his second time on The Simpsons now.
Yes. Yeah. All those Fish fans finally getting their juice.
I can't believe that that's the second time today the band Fish has turned up, and I've never heard of it before today.
Mm-hmm.
That's some weird kismet, man.
Yes.
It's almost like it was planned or something.
Almost like you've orchestrated this entire evening, Elliot.
Almost like if you go to patreon.com/sidequeststudios and subscribe for as little as $5 a month, you can listen to over 80 exclusive podcasts, the latest of which includes us reviewing the DVD extras, which includes a little bit from Fish.
It's happening again.
Let's rank this thing on the Simpsons Index. We rank using a 6-point scale, which starts down the bottom at failure. Maybe if the episode was just meh, you give it a participant. But for the positive rankings, you got okay bronze, good silver, excellent gold. But for the best of the very best, you give cubic zirconia. I'll go first. Let me show you how it's done. Yeah, look, I'm giving it a participant. It's just one of these ones that I absolutely understand a failure. Mm. And I was so close to it myself, but it was just so insubstantial that it just, another classic, maybe a participant is more offensive because it's going to leave that little impact on me. BT.
I'm pretty much the same. I cannot muster the energy to hate it and to kick it into the pit of failure. And again, arguably that makes it worse because at least the ones I hate, I feel something for. This is just static white noise. You could almost cut any scene from this episode and it wouldn't matter for the to the overall story. So yeah, I'm going to participant, but it's like a dirty participant, you know.
So dirty.
Dirty.
Phil.
I'm going to fail it.
Hey.
I think one of us needed with to. Everything, I agree with everything BT said. And that normally you actively, emotionally hate an episode to fail it. But this just misses so many marks that there's no way that you can even go, well, you got the rules right, but you just didn't play the game well. They didn't get the rules right. I can't see this being not a technical failure. So I'm going to fail it.
I'm actually kind of swinging back. Like, you know, for its for its potential that it wasted is kind of what's annoying me.
Yeah?
You know what? Fuck it. Kick it.
Hey!
do you have a sound effect going into
I mean, it'd be the Wilhelm scream if it did.
Roar.
Yeah. I'm going to hold strong with participant. Like,
stay true to yourself, Elliot.
Look, it's fair, and it's very a 50-50 split, but it's more I like the core concept.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Maya coming back and it actually making a change to the show. The fact they had so little to do with it in the episode that it's about is just pathetic.
All right. Well, yep, that'll be a shiny failure and only the second lowest episode from this season so far. We've only reviewed three episodes. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah, that about does it for the Simpsons Index for this week. Phil, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure to be back in the studio cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And have you got anything you want to plug at the moment?
I'm working on a little side project, Small Minds. Don't look at it. You can't.
Yeah. It's in the works.
I'm sure more things will come later on. I don't want to say too much because that will promise things sooner than I'm ready to deliver them.
Yeah. But been recording out of SideQuest Studios.
Been using your fabulous facilities here. We've, me and my co-host Tom. Hey, Tom, you're not listening to this, but hello anyhow. talked to some of the brightest minds in the Australian science scene and we asked them the dumbest questions that we can think of. Also, we asked some questions from kids. So the episode isn't a total waste.
Yeah. And yeah, we'll, of course, share and let you know when that's happening. But until then, BT, what are some things that are out there in the universe?
Oh, you can go to patreon.com/sidequest. Yeah, I've already done that.
Patreon.com/sidequeststudios, though.
Yeah. But look, if you don't have that kind of funding right now, you can just pretty much go to any podcatcher app and you can look up Thrones of Game, which we already mentioned, where we review Game of Thrones, but in reverse order.
Highly recommend you doing it.
Yeah, I had a re-listen myself recently. I have such fond memories.
It's very fun listening to Elliot discover things in reverse order and then know the answers to the questions that are questionable.
Yeah. We find out where it all went wrong. It is not where you think it is. Mm. And also there is Pulp Fury Radio, our scripted fiction podcast, which is just all original stories told across a range of pulp genres. So if you're like, I want a little bit of noir or maybe mystery or maybe like B-grade horror. Yeah, we got all that for you on Pulp Fury Radio.
Yeah,
and the hidden Easter egg, BT voices one of the characters in one of the episodes. If you can spot it, I will give you a shiny gold coin.
To the value of $1 or $2.
Depending on what I've got in my change drawer.
But yeah, if you want more free content as well, we produced a web series called Dave Plus One, and it's quite good.
Oh, shit, that was a while ago. Yeah, really I forgot we did that. Yeah, it's very good.
Six-year anniversary
recently.
I have
a cameo in that as well.
A great great rom-com for the ages, far better than anything produced in Australia by the professional producers, and it'll make you laugh. It might make you cry. It'll definitely make you laugh again, and you should watch it. DavePlusOne.com. or check it out at YouTube/somethingDavePlusOne. That's the word one, not the number one, because we are highbrow.
Yes. Yeah, we spell out our words with letters.
Yeah, we're fancy as shit.
No, we're not that fancy. And we appreciate your support. Mm. So yeah, if you do have a couple of bucks, patreon.com/sidequeststudios. Lots of podcasts, new weekly podcast exclusive only to that feed where we're doing lots of fun stuff over there. But until then, that's been Phil Callow. Oh, fuck.
Old habits.
Take two. That's been Philip Wolf.
The world gets more complicated when you change your name.
That's been BT Calloway.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And I've been Smelly at J.O. Spiel. That's all the mustard in the house. That's all the ketchup in the bungalow. I don't know.
It's all the mayonnaise in the cottage.
Oh, all the cottage cheese in the cottage.
Oh. All the cottage cheese in the bungalow. Damn it, I can't think of bungalow. Cottage cheese in the... that's all the cottage cheese in the cabin.
What about just cheese in the cottage?
No, it's too on brand.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Simpsons Index podcast, which is also an online spreadsheet available at thesimpsonsindex.com. You can chat to us online at facebook.com/thesimpsonsindex or at Simpsons Index on Twitter or Instagram. Now, there's no bonus scenes for this episode, so we'll catch you next week.